I wanted to start tonight asking you a question, in that maybe you or someone you know has a will. That's W-I-L-L. Maybe you've been a participant in creating a will, or you've been in a place where you've received something as a result of reading a will. I know sometimes the reading of a will can be a public thing that sometimes takes place in a lawyer's office. And basically what it is it's a document that declares what's to be done after the passing of a person generally. I know Vicki and I, when we got here, we had our estate planning documents kind of reworked and done, and as a part of that, we have a what's called a will in there. And what it does is it describes what we would really like to have done in the course of life, and in how we would make certain distributions and certain arrangements with our heirs. And so this will, which is really kind of a formal document in the legal sense, it declares what's to be done based on what has already been done, and it provides resources to a future generation as to what can or will be done. And some people are very specific about what they do want done or they don't want done, or the will gets contested and nobody gets anything. But a lot of times it does come down to the distribution of assets, cash, property, stocks, all these different things, cars, houses. And it details those specific things and distributions who are the, let's call them, the parties named in that document, and how that distribution is to be made. We've all maybe been the benefactors of, you know, an estate or the distribution of a will. And it describes in detail the desires of the one who initiated the will so that it could be passed forward to the next generation as a blessing, as a blessing. And so, you know, many times we've heard it said, the Word of God is the will of God. And that the Bible, the Word of God describes, but here it is, the Bible, which is the Word of God, it describes the desires, the intent, and the willingness of God to describe eternally His will to those who are the heirs for their blessing and their benefit. And tonight what we're going to look at is something I've entitled Heirs of Promise. Because unfortunately, many times, you know, because of the serious and the gravity of you know, forming a will, reading a will, and all these different things, it becomes this very sort of somber type of presentation. And of course, you know, a lot of times it's happening in the context of somebody passing away, so then we have to read the will and figure out what they want to do. But you know, if we could maybe take a perspective on the will of God, in that these are words that God has given to us as His declaration of those promises that are available to us as inheritors of what we have received spiritually through the work of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus gave His life, but He gave it on our behalf so that this will could come into fruition for every person who is born again. And I want to look at Romans 8:17 to start. And so I encourage you again, let's look at the will as something that we look forward to. I mean, that we have anticipation of what we're going to receive and how we're going to receive it, and realizing we've already, in many cases, already received. There are some things that are coming that are still future. But in Romans 8:17, great, great section where it talks about, and if children, well, look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Notice how this says we're heirs. We're heirs of God, which means we're entitled to many, many, many things that the Word of God has promised us. And we're going to look at a few of those tonight, but certainly we're chosen, we're called, we're redeemed, we've been given sonship, we've been forgiven, we've been marked with a seal, where we've been given that Holy Spirit of promise, remember, as a token of our inheritance. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is really just so full, which we're going to be delving into here in the next few weeks. And appropriately so, it's called The Blessed Life, a seminar on Ephesians. Because Ephesians really lays out for us many of the inherited qualities and resources and things that we have as a result of what Christ accomplished for us and through our identity with him. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 11, where it says, in whom also we have been obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of what? His own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also after that, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Believe you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Another way to look at that seal with the Holy Spirit of promise is that it's a down payment. Kind of like, you know, when you've made a car, bought a car, you bought a home, you put a down payment. It's like a partial payment and a guarantee that you're going to follow through on. It's really it's such a great promise. And I just love that one. Ephesians is just so full. Go down to verse, 13. In verse 14 it says, which is the earnest or the token or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, which is the earnest. That Holy Spirit of promise is the token. It is the deposit. Somebody once called it your spiritual deposit. It's the earnest or the token of what is to come, and it's also what is currently available to us as sons and daughters of God. Because remember it says we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. What heirs do is they share fully in all that has been given to them on their behalf. If you know, a will is being read and you receive $50,000, you know what? That $50,000 is as good as being in the bank, even though it's just now been exposed and declared and written. In your mind, it's in the bank. And that's what a will does. It declares the will of the one who is expressing his desire for those who are going to be the heirs and the inheritors of what has been promised. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 1, back a few verses, two chapters. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's see. I'm going to get there too. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 4, shall we? Yeah, I love this. That's for verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, and that wholeness ready to be revealed in the last time. There's a day coming when that fulfillment is going to really come into fruition in its full completeness. Remember those verses in 1 John chapter 3? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're heirs of the promise. I'm just kind of scratching the surface here in terms of what this topic and subject matter is all about. But I think maybe if we could look at the, quote unquote, the will of God as something that's exciting and dynamic and just full and rich. And you know, let's say it's better than getting $50,000. Because these are eternal promises, amen? Things that we have been given that will never fade away, never falter. See, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, I mean, he's like, attention, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And some translations say, and we are.
Yeah.
Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear, I would say, fully or completely what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, we may not see our full completeness in Christ quite yet, but the moment that Christ returns, we will see just as we see through a glass darkly, says in another place, because we are guaranteed that we are inheritors of the things of God through the work of Jesus Christ, and by the fulfillment of that word, which we receive freely by grace when we confess Jesus as Lord, right? We believe God raised him from the dead. At that point in time, you know what? We got the whole spiritual package. We did not deserve it. We did not earn it. We did not work for it. It came only one way, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, I love this. Vicki did a great historical teaching on this. I have a t-shirt that now says this. So we'll call on her to say those first couple of words. Ephesians 2, 4.
But God.
You know, the world may be going to hell in a handbasket, let's say.
But God.
There's a lot of things going on. There are a lot of storms in life. There's a lot of circumstances and situations. Say it.
But God.
And, you know, we just have to take our stand. We have to take our stand in terms of who we are, who God has made us to be, what God has truly given. And this is what it says in verse 4.
But God,
who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, we have quickened us together. That means made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the Lord.
Yes.
It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wow. Talk about an inheritance. Talk about a beautiful will of God that he has now made available, which was not made known in other ages or in other times. And it says actually in 1 Corinthians, and we've read this before, I love that. 2 Corinthians, I think, 2, let's see, I'll find it. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2. No, that's not it. I want to find it, so I'm going to find it. Maybe it's been... here it is. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God knew what his will was, but man, he revealed it at just the perfect time. Because he ordained it before the world unto our glory, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That was one part of the inheritance package that was not revealed until it was revealed basically really to Paul when he got the revelation of the mystery. But God had this plan, and it was for, it included the sacrifice of Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the giving of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I mean, you talk about spiritual riches, spiritual treasures, the awareness of what we have, who our Father is. It's just unbelievable. And it's not even so much about the specific promises, like I want more money, I need a new house, I need a new car. What we're, I think, all endeavoring to do is to get to know God better. And I wanted to look in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. It follows those other verses where it talks about you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And then he goes on to say, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that prayer would be for spiritual wisdom and knowledge. You know what that's called? Revelation, that God would reveal himself, and that what we would do is to seek the blessor more than the blessing, that we would seek his face, that we would learn to, well, Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That we go to God, we desire to have that kind of wisdom, that kind of revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? That you may know, there it is again, what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There's two. Number three, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Those three things, the hope to which he has called you, and what is the riches of the his glorious inheritance. And I learned something interesting today, because there's three little words that follow that. The riches of the glory of his inheritance, where is it? In the saints, in his people. That is where the richness of the treasure of the fullness of where God really resides is in the body of believers. His people are that treasure. And, you know, it goes on to talk about that God is inhabiting the body of Christ. That's what makes up the temple. See? So we have understanding the hope to which he is called, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? You know, the things that makes us powerful and the thing that we really absorb and reflect as we get to know God even better, is what is the nature of God? Love. That's the most powerful thing that there is. Love. Love laid the foundation of this world. And love continues to guide us, to strengthen us, and to empower us, and to do so many things for us that we can't even really begin to describe as part of that inheritance which we now are partakers of. And in verse 20 it says, this power, this exceeding great power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which that is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, we don't have the time. We're not going to take the time tonight to go into every specific promise. I did look up on the internet today a number of the things that we have received as a part of the inheritance and in our identity with Christ. And the list was just very, very, very long. But the truth is, what we really have received as part of our inheritance is God himself, is that we have entered in to the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have entered into having full-time accessibility to the presence of Almighty God, and that we can get to know him. We can lay our hearts out before him. We can speak to him openly. He's already displayed to us through his word, through his promises, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, how much he desires for us to have that kind of relationship with him. You know, like I said in the beginning, a will, it describes in detail what the desires are of the one who initiated the will. That's what we refer to the Bible as, the will of God. So as we read it, we can bring to ourselves and ask God to reveal to us who we are in a greater way and what we have received, but not in a selfish way, but then that we are now enabled with that exceeding great power, that great amount of love, to then be able to carry forth that message of the good news and welcome other people to the family as well. So we are heirs of the promise, heirs of the promise, and heirs of the promises. So we can walk in the fullness of all that God has created us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. The wonderful grace and mercy, Father, that we walk in moment by moment, day by day, whether sometimes we're aware of it or not, and that we continue to live out and claim the fullness of the riches of everything we've received, Father, as you declared so lovingly in your love, Father, in your word. And we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ on our behalf when we weren't even thinking about that. But you saw the big picture, and you love us, and you only want the best for us. And so we pray, Father, that the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened, that we may know you better, and that we may know more about the hope to which you've called us, and to the riches of our inheritance, and more of your exceeding great power, Father, which is displayed in your love when you raise Christ from the dead. Well, we thank you for these things tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.